I'm Karen Hart Glass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in love. That's what we do here. We started tuning in love a while ago, and I'm sticking with it because I like it. It feels really good. And it's now 2016. Happy New Year to everyone. And we've got a lot of fun things planned here at Progressive Radio Network for our show, It's All About Food, and also at my nonprofit, ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com. We're always putting up great new recipes for you, and now we're even packaging them in all kinds of fun menus, and there's just lots of delicious things in store. Now, you know I'm passionate about food, plant food, and there are some big reasons why all of us should be eating healthy, whole plant foods. We go over them. We go over all the themes over and over, and there are all kinds of specific things that pop up from time to time that really reinforce this important message about eating plant foods. So the first part of the program, we're going to talk about healing with plant foods, and I'm going to invite my guest, Michael Bader. He is an avid natural foods and health researcher and author, and the co-director of the East Bay Healing Collective in Berkeley, California. He graduated from UC San Diego, where he studied and researched environmental health. And later for his master's thesis at the Cousins School of Holistic Wellness, he surveyed 200 people on their happiness and satisfaction with their nutrition and health outcomes and turned the data into a page-turner of a parable, the acclaimed novel Sweet Healing, A Whole Health Journey. Learn more about Sweet Healing at readsweethealing.com. Bader is also the associate producer of several hit documentaries about the natural world, food, and health, and he has been a natural health guide for 10 years. Michael, welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you for having me. When you said, hello, everybody, I almost said hello back to you.
Well, you're supposed to. Hello, everybody.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
I mispronounced your name. Tell us how we pronounce your name.
Oh, you got it. Bader.
Bader. Okay. That's what origin is that?
Oh, that's like a shortening of a Bedarsky.
Bedarsky.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Okay. I always like, I just curious about names and language and pronunciation. It's fascinating. And the point of it is just like everything, literature, language, food, it's all dynamic. It's all changing. And we continue to make everything better, I'd like to think.
Yeah, that's a great segue into what I want to talk about.
Also, making things better.
Yeah, and people who like to go for it in terms of making things better. I'm sure there's people listening to us who are go for it kind of people. And they're part of who I wrote Sweet Healing for.
That's nice. You know, I want to think that we can all go for it. And sometimes there's an incubation period. I was just thinking, for many years, especially I live in New York right now and I'm from New York, but I was living in California for about 9 years and I used to commute to the office like many people do. And the traffic was horrible. And I would listen to the radio all the time, NPR and some other progressive stations. And then when I came to New York, I listened to WBAI and a variety of different stations. And during that time, I think of it as it was somewhat of an incubation period for me. I was learning all kinds of things. And now I'm doing my own program and other people are listening. And some people want to go for it, but sometimes they need that period.
Oh, so you went for it and you had your own incubation period. Right.
Of course. We all, you know, some are shorter than others, but, you know, sometimes we just need to listen for a while until it hits us over the head.
That's right. That's actually exactly the foundation of part of the plot where it really took. I mean, I started off with describing letting the characters reveal themselves to be very kind of normal, you know, great in some areas, totally struggling in other areas, just like all of us. And I saw them as potentially go for it people, just like I see everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good. Okay, let's back up a little bit, Michael Bader. I said that right, right? Bader.
Yes, Karen Hartglass, which is a lovely name in its own right.
Karen with a C.
And yes. Hartglass, which is I see your feelings and your heart and your love inside this glass.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, the heart glass.
I like the name Hartglass. There aren't many of us. And we recently celebrated, we had a reunion, a Hartglass family circle. We hadn't had one in over 50 years. and it was kind of fascinating to reunite, but it's a very unusual name, and so anyone who has it is my cousin.
I believe that.
Yeah, anyway, so let's start. Let's back up in time here. Whoops, 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 whoops.
Yeah.
How did you get on your own whole health journey?
Yeah, thankfully, I was exposed in increments throughout my life. My father actually grew a garden, and we ate vegetables out of it sometimes. And from that foundation, I always had a inclination towards like how nice it felt to eat like that. Mm-hmm. But I also certainly ate plenty of fried, processed, garbage, packaged fast food, especially as I got into college, more and more fast food. I started to feel the effects that weren't so great. And I got into filmmaking. As my first storytelling experience was making a documentary. And in that process, I met some artists. And one day I asked this artist out to have a meeting, and I offered her some of what I was eating. And she was like, "Nah, no thanks. You know, I thought it was pretty healthy actually." But she was like, "You know, I eat like plants and mostly raw vegetables." And I was like, "Wow. Never heard of that, you know?"
Yeah.
I actually admired her spark, her creativity, her way of like, she just showed up, and I inquired more. And soon I was actually attending foodie type of events, listening to lectures, and trying out. And I remember 2 weeks into eating all plants myself, also unprocessed, I just like couldn't believe it, how different I felt after 5 years of college and basically eating whatever I could. I just like, this is real. Like, I want to actually, it was literally like scream from the rooftops kind of experience.
Yeah. And
that I made my next documentary, the next major one on the subject of transitioning from a junk foods, fast food type of lifestyle to one that was full of sprouts and vegetables and fruits and seeds and nuts. And the documentary was a big hit. And I lived at a center where I taught this stuff. And I learned, like you said, from the Cousins School of Holistic Wellness. Dr. Gabriel Cousins is one of my people that I credit for my education. And he's the author of Conscious Eating and There Is a Cure for Diabetes. And so in my own life and in the people that I coached, hundreds and hundreds of people that I facilitated and filmed and documented and researched on that survey you were mentioning, mm-hmm. I really got a sense of what resonated for me in my own life, and the data showed resonated for a large pool of other people. And I was able to put that into a system, and with the advice of another author named Mike Chait, put it into a parable. So it's a story that takes the most happy and successful outcomes of all the people I've researched and coached and composites it and creates a story that we can relate to the characters, and they go through a real transformative journey.
Very sweet. I'm just curious, you were at UC San Diego and you researched environmental health. Can mm-hmm. you tell us what you learned, and did that connect at all with the food that you were discovering?
I wish I did more. As a matter of fact, the school education was basic sciences, which had a mm-hmm. lot, everything from the periodic table to toxicology to atmospheric science. So the school, this might have been what you were leading to. The school was a little bit, I don't want to say quite that word, but
it gave you a foundation, and from there you were able to access other information and process it in an intelligent way. How about that?
That's right. And I was. Thankfully, to the basic sciences, what I saw in application actually made sense. I still had to do some expansion beyond the sort of simple basic sciences that I was that I learned from the classroom, and I just did my own thinking. Imagine.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's the most important thing we should all learn from any of our education, is to think for ourselves. But I know there's a lot of environmental programs, unfortunately, that are not focusing on what we believe is important about the environment. It's more about logging and things that are related to profit and taking resources from the environment and making money from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest ones that makes money is the animal agriculture.
Oh yeah, ding ding ding. Yeah.
As well as GMO. So I mean, that's a whole topic, but I like focusing on what we can do. Like, it's in Calman, California right now, and that means I just had lunch. And I felt like in the greens and the food that I ate, I know that I gave myself a tick up on the chart. Whichever direction I'm going, like that led me further into health. And then I just know that there's people that each time they eat, they might be oblivious to it, but it's giving them a tick down. And I wanted to help intercept that process with a story that they would enjoy and like love to turn the pages and find out what happens next.
Well, I definitely support anything that promotes eating healthy plant foods. And I have enjoyed a number of fictional stories that do that. And we need as much as we can out there to promote the power of plants. Can I just ask you one more thing about your past? And that is, what was the Cousins School of Holistic Wellness like? And what did you study there? Is that primarily promoting a live food, raw food diet?
Yeah, well, the master's program is called a master's in spiritual nutrition, live food nutrition, and vegan nutrition, or plant-sourced only nutrition. So, and it's all under the holistic wellness umbrella. So it was a tremendously deep and rich holistic education from, you could call it like consciousness training, like actually learning how to go into being from doing and really be present to the feelings and sensations in this moment, which opens up a lot of intuition for intuitive eating and intuitive living. And definitely scientifically rigorous with all the dietary research we read and that we do multiple papers.
What is intuitive eating?
Well, we all, without even making it a fancy thing, it's very basic for us all to have intuition. It couldn't be otherwise to me. Like, we have so many skin cells, so many receptor cells that we have an intuition that we just don't necessarily even know about. And so when we come close to something that's good for us, some voice is going to like be informing us that might be healthy for us. And some voice is going to say, stay away. But we really, really cloud our perception of that with incessant media messages, consumer messages, advertising messages, and our own self-made stress. And real life events happen too. So it's the practice is the intuition. So getting into a silence or a meditation to feel again, even if it's just for a moment, can open up a whole lot of space to make choices about what we want to eat.
Mm. Now, in your book, you mention synesthesia. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, synesthesia. I do mention that.
Yeah. Let's say that three times fast. Synesthesia. I can't. So why don't you tell us what that is and why you felt it was important to introduce into your story?
Sure. Can we have someone call in and do that three times fast?
Yeah. Synesthesia. And I can't do it. I'm going to work on it. You tell us and I'm going to practice here.
You be on mute there while you do that. Okay. I brought that into the story because right in a critical...
What is it?
Synesthesia is the experience of perceiving in one sensory perception something that is usually perceived in another. So in other words, you know, hearing orange or seeing, you know, the note of C or seeing the A minor chord or something. It's when you can smell blue. I mean, it's like when something happens and the senses get confused. And neurologists have known about this for decades, centuries. But it can be a chance to kind of momentarily rewire your experience. So I chose that as a relatively minor part of the plot, but it's when Jean, one of our protagonists, is having like sort of an existential moment with like, am I going to either basically miss my child's, you know, growing into a man and miss my grandchildren's upbringing, or I'm going to make a change in my life. Because he would die or continue to, you know, totally be basically bedridden if he didn't get awakened about his health. So he's out by nature. He's at the place in his, I'm not going to give away the whole plot, but he's at the place that's the central ground for his life. It's down by the river. It's where he always walks at the major moments of his life with his wife and Hope. Her name is Hope. And he's there. He's like really in this crisis, and he begins to see things that he couldn't normally see. Like a new dimension opens up for him. And it leads to seven very grounded principles of how to live. But he needed that opening. And that was like a way to describe the hard to explain transitions that sometimes lead us to the path that we never expected to go on. A little bit of rewiring now and then never hurts. And that was my way of conveying that brief moment when that happened to Gene.
Hmm. Okay. I like it. And I don't know that it, I think it's something that it's something we haven't really developed in ourselves. And there's probably a lot more to our senses than we know. But I'm a singer, and I know that I have associated from time to time colors with sound.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely, well, actually.
So I don't know, you're a musician. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. La! So you mentioned that some of the story came from the survey of 200 people that you did. Mm-hmm. Are any of them, or any of these people in the story, part of people that are close to you in your life? Have you had anyone close to you that actually was affected by type 2 diabetes?
Well, my grandmother was. She passed away before I did my study. That impacted me with the subject of preserving health around me and in me.
Yes.
I just recently, I had a relative pass away early in life recently, and I went to several different groups of people who get together for social reasons, and I had a friend in that one of those groups who had also type 2 diabetes, and her mother had died from it, and she was in my survey. I mean, I had participants very close to me, as well as absolutely people I never heard of or never met. The 200 altogether encompass both people who went with a food-based route, a responsible eating and living route, as you would say, and those who just didn't. It wasn't their time. It wasn't their inclination. And I really was wondering, like, same country, same time frame, same culture, more or less. Like, what makes the difference between the two? Like, what is it? What is it? I'm not trying to judge anybody. What is it that makes some people go this way and some people go that way?
I asked myself that question many times a day and have not found an answer.
Well, interesting. Well, we all do. I mean, that was a big question for me, and I just designed my survey to help me answer it. And there were lots of questions in the survey just about your attitudes and your beliefs about life, not about food, just about life and your background and like what information you just choose to digest. And I found a couple of interesting themes. Of the people with the most satisfying outcomes in their health, two common personality traits came out. One is their sense of personal agency. Just in their life, they show up in a way that says, I make a difference. Mm-hmm. What I think makes a difference, what I say makes a difference, what I do makes a difference. It's the buck stops here, so to speak. And that type of responsibility, to bring it back to that,
that
was pervasive in their lives, their work, their family, their outlook. And it happened to play out in their food choices and their health when they were confronted with an unexpected, in this case, type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes crisis. So that was revealing. And the second one, because that didn't tell the whole story, the second part of the story was emotional honesty and acceptance and vulnerability, which means that the other key personality ingredient was people accepting where they're at. Like, damn, I don't know if I can change. I don't know. I feel totally paralyzed and a little bit ashamed and stuck with my health right now. And I don't know if I'm going to succeed with this. Like just to name that and say that, a person who could say, I am terrified I won't get to see my children grow up. Like people who could actually be emotionally honest, you know, or like the thought of changing my diet disgusts me in the moment. Like people who could like just say that kind of thing, just like kind of identify it.
Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And the people who could be there and go into that actually had strongest correlation with the satisfying health outcomes. That, you know, choosing foods that were healthy, choosing a direction that was plant sourced, led to the greatest health outcomes. But they wouldn't have chosen that if not for those two character traits, which is very interesting to me. And now I could just.
There was one character in your book who was young, a teenager, and some of his misfortunes in life with health had to do with the fact that he was angry and just wanted to be contrary. And as a result, it affected him physically until he was able to get around it and see that he was hurting himself, not really anyone else.
Indeed. That's right. That's right. And he had a revelation in conversation with other people and other characters. And I'm really honored that you read the book so well.
Okay. I read everything.
Yeah.
My listeners know, anybody I have an author on, I read the book.
That's great. Yeah. So, you know, so that was Perlis, and he came into the story because the initial main characters went from discovering these foundational principles of health and integrating them, as challenging as it was for themselves, into sharing it. In order to really integrate it, then it's essential to move it through you and share it with others. In this case, they go down to their town high school, and there, what do you know? There's this reunion with a person who was, like you said, when he was young, he was in that type of contrarian attitude, and he showed up and he thanked the initial, you know, he thanked Gene and Patrick for being there and showing him a little bit about what he was doing. And yeah, so.
Okay, well, all fiction aside, the bottom line is that there are way too many people today who have type 2 diabetes. It used to be called adult onset, and now it's affecting many of our children. And it is completely reversible. It is completely preventable. And anyone who is suffering from that needs to know it. And unfortunately, doctors aren't being candid enough, or maybe they don't know themselves. I know more and more are becoming knowledgeable, but it doesn't take much to turn it around. And it all has to do with your responsible eating and living.
Yes. Real. Yeah. I mean, I just want to encourage people that are either patients or even doctors and health providers to come on over and like, if you want entertainment, read Sweet Healing. And if you want literature, you know, from like the medical schools, read that. But there is a community over here that's really emphasizing the nutritional foundations of true essential health. And then the old school doctors meet us and be like, hey, you're doing it like we used to do it. So
what goes on at East Bay Healing Collective?
At the East Bay Healing Collective, we actually are a space that provides low rent therapeutic space for psychotherapists, massage therapists, and other types of healers in our one room, and for classes, workshops, courses, and meditation groups in our larger room. So you can go to healingcollective.org or look us up in Berkeley if you're here, and join our community, which really supports one another.
Now, Michael, tell me, what is a typical food day for you?
For me, yeah. Well, today, typical as any, I went into my box that I get from my CSA. So that's such a convenient way to save a lot of time going into stores, which I still do. But I get a cardboard box once a week full of the local seasonal produce that grows near here. And you can look up CSA if that means anything to you, if you'd like to try that.
Community supported agriculture.
Yes.
It's fun.
Totally. So I sliced up the cabbage head and the leek. I put in some almonds and a little bit of coconut oil, put it on the, sort of the steamer and just warmed it up a bit after I massaged it to basically break it down, squeezed some lemon on it. And, that was my lunch today.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So, what about yesterday's breakfast? I want to hear about more food.
Yesterday's breakfast, I had
people hungry.
Yeah, you know, I had a fruit salad with, for me, it included a tahini, a kiwi, a sliced kiwi, and a sliced banana. I also cleaned up the bowl with a sliced apple.
Anything with tahini is good for me.
Yeah. How about you? Make me hungry for it later. Make me hungry for dinner. How about that?
Yeah, well, I'm in a big lentil mode right now. The New Year started, and I had heard that lentils are related to New Year's, or you're supposed to have lentils on New Year's. I like to have lentils all year long, but I hadn't had any for a while. And I've just been overdoing the lentils. I don't know that you could overdo them, but sometimes I just cook a pot and just eat them plain because they're just so good the way they are.
Yes.
So I just finished off a big bowl of lentil soup, and I'm good for a very long time.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. And we just got a delivery. I get my local organic produce. Not all of it's local because we're here in New York and it's cold now. But I'm working with a group called – well, I'm not working with them. I pay them. But Go Organic NYC. It's a local organic food delivery service. I've done community support agriculture from time to time here, and currently this is what's working best for me because I like a lot of dark leafy green vegetables, and this way I can control how many I get, which is a lot.
Great.
Awesome. And I juice a lot, so I got to make some new juice today because my delivery came. Yay!
It's good for you. It's good for the footprint on the earth and the water usage. It's such a win-win-win.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, you're going to be in New York very soon. You've got a tour going on. What's happening?
My flight is in like 12 hours, and I'm going to land in New York. This is a call out to Go Organic NYC and a summons to everybody in New York to come to my book signings. I'll be at Rock and Raw on Sullivan Street, the vegan restaurant there with a Cajun flavor.
Okay, now if you're going to be in New York, you have to say Rock and Raw.
Rock and Raw.
Nobody will know if you say raw what you're talking about. It's raw here in New York.
Believe it or not, I was born in New York, and I had that accent until I was 10, maybe 11. And then I moved and quickly softened into a different – I softened into a different accent.
Softened, exactly. I'm just teasing. Okay, rock and raw. Right on.
Yeah.
Very good.
170 Sullivan Street. Then I'll be at Integral Yoga the next day, Jivamukti Yoga the next day, which is they're both great yoga studios with a theme in terms of diet that agrees with what we're saying. Because anybody who's a yogi out there and wants to connect their practice with responsible eating and living, I just really recommend that those two are intimately woven together, and that when we're in yoga and the eight limbs and living the yamas and niyamas of a personal conduct, you satisfy them all to a higher degree with a plant-source diet.
So, beautiful. Amen to that. Okay, well, Michael, have a very safe trip. I hope you have a lot of layers because all of a sudden it's cold here. It hasn't been cold for a while. And all the best to you. Thanks for joining me on It's All About Food.
Can I announce the website to learn more? Okay, great. Well, learn more about the tour and the book at readsweethealing.com. I hope to see you throughout the Northeast, actually Boston, Philly, and Connecticut also. So.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Karen. Great show.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You too.
That was Michael Bedar, author of Sweet Healing, A Whole Health Journey. And now I would like to take a little minute break or two, and we'll be back in a minute or two.